Thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
We think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We don't understand what the sin that is committed against God and rebellion against the Creator of all that we know and see and hear and feel. We don't understand what that sin did. The reason that we don't see sin clearly is because we don't see what true righteousness really is, and that is Christ and His death and His resurrection and His love for you and me. And this motivation of a Christian life begins here with the understanding that Jesus was with God, and He made us even though He knew what we were going to cost Him. What did He do? As we think about the motivation and the pattern of the Christian life, He says in verse 7 that Jesus emptied Himself. I don't know that it's possible for you and me to fully understand what we just read. I sat down with pen and paper this past week as I looked at these scriptures, and I got stuck here. It said Jesus emptied Himself. And my being stuck, and the pen that just stopped flowing, the pen that just ceased from writing, that was the point. I don't know that we can understand fully what we just read, because we have to ask ourselves this question. And as I began to ask myself this question, as I began to pray and meditate and think, Jesus, what did You empty Yourself of? And we try to begin to make a list. But when we ask the question, Jesus, what did You empty Yourself of? We are immediately confronted with the problem. And the problem is, we don't have any idea fully what He emptied Himself of, because He's God. We have an idea. We can say right things about what it means for Him to have emptied Himself, but He's the Son of God. He was in heaven for an eternity before the first second ticked off the clock. Before a single bird flew through the air. Before a single plant sprouted from the ground. For eternity before time, Christ was in heaven with His Father and with the Spirit in complete fellowship and happiness and harmony and love and communion. And He emptied Himself. And we begin to think, okay, what did He empty Himself of? And we are immediately confronted with this inability to answer the question, because it's too large, it's too marvelous, it's too big for us to wrestle with fully. He emptied Himself. Some, by the way, they say that this verse teaches that Jesus emptied Himself of His divinity, and He did no such thing. He was fully God in this life, fully man, all at the same time. The incarnation, one of the greatest and most marvelous teachings of Scripture and necessary pieces of the doctrine of Christianity. But Jesus did not remove from Himself one little bit of divinity while He was here, and yet He did empty Himself by coming. And so He emptied Himself. What I would simply say is this: He emptied Himself from presence, an immediate presence in heaven. He came here. He came here. And again, we're struck with the inability to fully understand this, because you and I think, this place isn't so bad. Life's not so bad. This world's pretty good. It's all right. There's no comparison. The Son emptied Himself, and He came here. That's how. And by the way, this is where we pick up the pattern. Do you know what the pattern of the Christian life is? It picks up here, emptying ourselves of the world. Jesus Christ emptied himself of presence with God in heaven so that you and I might empty ourselves of the presence here in this world. Where are you living? Have you scooped up the world and poured it into your heart? Or have you emptied yourself of this world that you might have more and more of God in heaven? Where are you living? Where is your heart today? Where is your mind? Where are your thoughts? Where is your energy? Where is your love? Where is your habit of life? Where is it? Do we take the pattern of Jesus Christ and empty ourselves of this life? Or do we drink it down, this world? Do we drink it down, as it said, like water? What are you full of? I can tell you right now where your spiritual condition is by simply answering one question. What is my heart full of? Is it full of this life, or is it full of God and Christ? And by the way, I'll tell you this as well. If you try to fill yourself with this world, that's exactly why you're frustrated. It's exactly why you're discontent. It's exactly why you keep coming to the same place again and again and again in your life. It's like beating your head against a wall. Everybody heard the joke, right? This man says, my head's hurting. And doctor says, well, I don't understand why your head's hurting. I'm just going to have to follow you around for a while. And the doctor, as he follows the man around, he finds out that the man keeps beating his head up against a nail. He says, I've got a pretty good idea why your head hurts. You don't need an MD to figure it out. I can tell you pretty much why we are discontent and dissatisfied in this life. And it is not because we don't have enough of the things of this world. It's because we have too much of it. Jesus emptied himself. And I don't know. I think you could sit there with notebook in hand and pen in hand and have a blank page. Because it's so marvelous. It's so incredible to think about what the Son of God must have emptied himself of. To come here. And then it says that he humbled himself. And we're struck again with an equally challenging question. How did he humble himself? He went from his place in heaven and he came here as a lowly child, unknown to the world. There were very, very few eyes on the Son of God when he entered the world, but every eye in heaven was upon him. When you empty yourself of this world, it leads to this reality of humbling yourself before God. Humility, not a thing that the world encourages, not a thing that the world looks to as a good and positive thing, but Jesus himself humbled himself. And you could come up with all kinds of analogies and say, well, this would be maybe like the President of the United States picking up a mop bucket in a high security prison or some kind of silly analogy, and you'd have to multiply that by infinity just to begin to talk about how much Jesus, the Son of God, humbled himself to come here. To take upon himself flesh. So many people think his suffering began on the day that he went to the cross. His suffering began the day he was brought into this life. And it was there every day until he left this life. Jesus lived 33 and a half some years. He lived it so that we might come to know God. And he humbled himself. One of the greatest challenges, one of the greatest reasons that many people reject God from the day that God deals with them and convicts them until the day that they leave this life is they are unwilling to humble themselves. But let me tell you this, you will humble yourself one day. You will humble yourself one day. When we are ready, when you and I are ready to humble ourselves and become nothing in the eyes of the world, that is when we become something in the eyes of God. Not that he looks at us and is impressed. Not that he looks upon us and sees something worth praise. But I will tell you this, until you are ready to be seen as nothing in the eyes of the world, you will be nowhere near ready to be seen as anything in the eyes of God. God does not look upon human strength. He does not look for that. He looks for humble people willing to show Him mighty, willing to fall upon their face to become unknown in the eyes and the attention of men, that He might be shown to be mighty. Coming into church today, I saw a bumper sticker and it said, "God bless the whole world, no exceptions." And my immediate thought was, He has. He has blessed the whole world. That's why He called Abraham, and all the nations of the world will be blessed because of what I'm going to do through your line when I bring the Savior, the Messiah, into the world that I promised your parents, Adam and Eve, way back in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. When I said one is going to come, and God comes to Abraham and said, it's going to be through your lineage that He's going to come. He has blessed the whole world. Humbling ourselves is a reality to the Christian life, and if we're not doing it, we're not following the pattern of our Savior, who did that Himself and did it in a far greater way than we could ever be called upon to do. But humility is a tricky thing for a human being, because pride is ever present. It's ever present. We can even become proud of our humility. Pride is that chameleon sin that is often difficult to recognize in our lives, but it prevents us from being the humble servants of God that He's called us to be. Why would you be one who submits to God? Because Christ has emptied Himself. There's going to be a final reason here in a moment, but then He goes, tells us what He's done. He's emptied Himself. He's humbled Himself, and He humbled Himself all the way to this point. He died. Do you know one of the greatest dangers of living your whole life in church? It's dangerous to live your whole life every Sunday going to church, Wednesday going to church, Sunday school, Bible school, vacation Bible school, camps. It's dangerous because you can hear this story so many times that it no longer moves or stirs your heart. Jesus died for you. On that cross, He took in a final breath and died. Feeling the pain of the nails and the mockery of the crowd and the shame of the day, and that was nothing compared to the weight of the sin of the world that He died with. Listen to your own breathing. Listen to your own breath. And just understand that Jesus, the man, breathed in a final breath as He said, "It's finished. Father, receive my spirit." He died for you. He died. The only way that He could rise again from the grave was that He first died and was placed in it. This, by the way, and I said this to others this week, this is ground that only the Christian can walk on. This idea that Jesus, the Son of God, came to the world so that we might have life. He died so that we might live. This is ground that only the Christian understands. The Buddhist says get rid of all desire. The Muslim says it's Allah, who is so different and distinct and never came to man. This is ground only the Christian walks upon. My God came to this world because He knew that I could not ever satisfy the law because I'm a sinner. And so Jesus, the Son, came to be my sacrifice, and He died on a cross for me and for the whole world. So little children all over the world, and grown adults, and people who are aged and about ready to leave this side of eternity, are getting ready to step out into eternity. And Jesus came to die for them, and he emptied himself, and he humbled himself, so much so that he died. But you've heard that story so many times, it barely even impacts you sometimes. You can read it and go right on. He died. Guys, he died for us. He gave every last bit. That's what he did. And I'll tell you this, as this pattern continues of the Christian life, it is to be emptied of this world and to humble ourselves, and it is to die to ourselves. Spiritually, we are to die to ourselves. And that's again an idea and a concept that I'm not sure that we fully can understand until we live it. We can talk about it all day, but truly dying to ourselves is something that must be done, as Paul said, every day. Die to ourselves. It goes on in verse 9. It says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. What is the end of emptying and humbling and dying? It's to be exalted. Do you want to be exalted by God? Do you want God to exalt you and exalt your life and bring you to a place of blessing and peace and prosperity and hope in Him? Do you want God to lift you up? The answer, if you're of a right mind, of course, is yes. I want God to lift me up because I cannot stand on my own. I want God to exalt my life for His purposes and His cause. I want God to use me. I want God to reach people through me. I want God to do with my life what He will. But I'm telling you this, God will not exalt us until and unless we empty and humble and die to ourselves. He uses us in spite of us. I know this. I'm not laying a path of to-do that we must check this and check this and check this and then God is going to use us. I would never put limitations upon God that way. And yet this is the pattern that Christ gives us and shows us. The pattern of the Christian life is to be empty, humble, and die to ourselves. And then God will exalt. We all want the exaltation. We all want the day as David battling Goliath and taking him and having a wonderful victory. None of us want to be alone in the field wrestling the bear and the lion when no one's watching. We all want to see great and outward victory in the church and in God's people and this nation turned around. We do. We want that, and I don't doubt it. I don't doubt the sincerity of it even. But are we willing that in the quiet of our own lives, in the closets of our own lives, to humble ourselves, to empty ourselves and say, God, I don't want the world. I want nothing of the world. You, God, just give me the things that You say I need. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily, God, give me those things I need in this world, because what I really want is You. And I empty myself and I humble myself and I die to myself. And God, I leave it and I trust it to You to exalt me when and if You see fit, because it's really not about that anyway. God, help me to see this pattern. If we're not humbled and emptied and dying to ourselves, we'll never truly experience the blessing of being exalted by God. Not really. In this final bookend of the why. So that at the name of Jesus, He's been exalted, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The book ends. He was God. He is God. He formed us anyway. He created us anyway. He wants us to live for Him. Our lives are His. He created us for that very purpose. And then finally, He says, and by the way, He is Lord of all. There is nothing about which it can be said that Jesus is not Lord. Say that again. There is nothing about which it can be said that Jesus is not Lord. This verse just told us that. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Listen, you're going to let go of your life one way or the other someday. You're going to die. You're going to empty yourself. You're going to humble yourself. You're going to come to this place where you realize that Jesus is the Lord of everything. That's going to happen. You cannot change that. Life is temporary. Jesus is the one that we will all bow to in heaven and on earth and under the earth. All will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you even begin to imagine that day? All of a sudden, all of these things that we're being asked to do and to live, all of a sudden, they are once again in very crystal clear clarity. We are to humble and obey and empty ourselves of this life because Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of your life. He's the Lord of my life. He's the Lord of all that I have. There is nothing I have that is not His. There's nothing you have that is not His. Your talents, your time, your abilities, your money, your friends, your families, your relationships, your jobs, your things, all of them. All of them are His. They're God's. They're the Son's. He's been exalted. And that we know every knee is going to bow. Every one of them. Yours and mine. That's why. That's the why of the Christian life. That's why we are to serve the Lord. We love Him and desire to honor Him because He created us to have fellowship with Him. We know that one day, when time is declared no more and everything is wrapped up for eternity, that Jesus Christ will be proclaimed by every tongue, in every nation, in every tribe, in every place in the world, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I pray that we understand these things today, and that we would follow the pattern of our Savior, that we would empty ourselves, humble ourselves, die to ourselves, that we might be exalted by Him, that we might be encouraging all others around us, that one day your knee is going to hit the ground and your tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And while you have time and opportunity here, you have time and opportunity to find Him as your friend rather than meet Him as your foe. And you want Him as your friend, not your foe. We pray that the Lord, again, would use His Word and that He would bless it. That He would give it the strength that we need it to have in our hearts. Son, as I was born.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.